All financial advice provided on this show is for entertainment and educational purposes only. The financial ideas and strategies discussed are only provided as a starting point for a conversation about money matters. With regard to your particular investments and financial strategies, consult your financial planner, CPA, or investment professional. All your financial decisions are yours and yours alone to make and subsequently are solely your responsibility. The information that is supplied through the context of the radio program and any repurposing of its content by the host or network is a combination and collection of solid financial investment understanding, opinion, and comments. This network, show, and its host are not liable for financial strategies, outcomes that you employ in any manner that result in any kind of loss. Jeff Bogart is the investment advisor, not Yogic Investing.
Welcome to the Yoga of Money with your host, Jeff Bogart. Our program is all about relationships with money and how to manage your money instead of the other way around. Remember that mindfulness is the first step in mastering money management. Now, here is Jeff Bogart.
Namaste, everybody. This is Jeff Bogart of Yogic Investing. I'd like to welcome you to the Yoga of Money radio show on the Empowerment Channel of Voice America Internet Radio Station. Today, we have a really fun guest, Cliff Feigenbaum of the Green Money Journal. But before I introduce Cliff, I'd like to explain to you what yogic investing is and what it isn't. First, like yoga, yogic investing is a multifaceted concept. Some may think it's all about socially conscious investing, which we will discuss today, but it is in part because that'd be like saying that yoga is only about your physical asana practice and nothing else. So let's just go over a few things which Russell Simmons says about yoga and money, the great modern-day yogi Russell Simmons. Russell tells us, number one, wake up in the morning and find what you want to give as opposed to what you want to get. Good givers become good getters. Number two, if you don't love it, don't do it. Yoga calls this finding one's dharma or purpose in life. Number three, let go of the results. We only have control of our actions and intentions, so perform them well. As a side note, this wisdom holds true for investing, where we have little or no control of the return, which is the outcome, but our actions and intentions are the amount we save and the risks we take. Again, both are controllable items. Number four, being of service comes before money and profit. And number five, my favorite, money does not make you happy, but happy makes you money. Let me repeat number five again. Russell Simmons says, money does not make us happy, but happy makes us money. So my guest, Mr. Cliff Feigenbaum, has been named one of the top thought leaders in trustworthy business behavior for 2013 from Trust Across America. During the course of Trust America's research, they spoke to hundreds of people, business leaders across professional disciplines, and they thought Cliff was just basically one of the best. Cliff started Green Money Journal in 1992 in Spokane, Washington, relocated to Santa Fe in 2000. Green Money Journal has found a worldwide readership and covers sustainable business and investing. He also blogs on his website, so visit greenmoneyjournal.com for more information. And great news, Green Money Journal is now a free online magazine. Well, namaste, Cliff.
Namaste.
How are you today?
Doing fine, doing fine. Calling in from Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Great. How's the weather there?
Well, it's beautiful today. We've actually got a little rain this summer, so our drought is ending a bit.
Interesting. So you guys had a drought for a while there?
Yeah. It's really, it's a little bit scary with shifting weather patterns and living in a high desert. When it doesn't rain, fires break out, and it's just really kind of a scary place to be.
You know, we're kind of going off it, but who's that group of Indian tribe that disappeared 1,000 years ago?
The Anasazi.
Right. I always thought, this is just my opinion, Cliff, that it was lack of water and maybe too much garbage. What's your opinion on that, since you're more up in the environment than I am?
Well, I think changing weather patterns could have something to do with it, because water is really an important commodity in the desert, and to grow your food and to, you know, have for drinking. So I could see that shifting weather patterns could have something to do with them moving on from this area. Absolutely.
Right. Great. Let's go back to Cliff. Before Green Money Journal, where did you grow up? What kind of career were you in? What did you do? And then what led up to Green Money Journal?
Well, you know, actually, I had no experience towards Green Money Journal. I had gone to school at Whitworth College in Spokane, Washington, and got a degree in business management and a minor in religion, and just was working at a business office at a TV station, and then ended up in the business office of a hospital in Spokane, and with over 1,000 employees. And, you know, I started getting a little more conscious about money and thinking about it more as I was making more, and discovered that my 401k plan that I had signed up for a few years before was full of mutual funds full of tobacco stocks.
Oy vey.
And I thought, well, how inappropriate for a healthcare institution to have this in the retirement fund. And so that was really how Green Money began, was that I wanted to make conscious financial decisions. And that was really an eye-opener, and that's how Green Money got its beginnings, as I started doing research on socially responsible or sustainable investing, green investing, and decided to put together a little newsletter because I didn't find anything out there that met my information needs. So there was a place in the marketplace, I thought, that Green Money could exist.
When was this, Cliff? Like 10 years ago, 20 years ago? What period of time are we talking?
Oh, we're talking 1991, 1992. So it was a ways ago. And so, you know, that for us was the beginning of creating an information resource on the web at greenmoney.com or in our print publication when we were putting it out to really help people make informed financial decisions to integrate their beliefs and their life in alignment with their money and how they spend it and how they invest it. We felt was really important to create the kind of world we want to live in.
Great. I love that. So you were green before green was cool, basically.
Yes, we helped color green.
Right. I've heard you've been called the Sultan of Sustainability or the Sage of Sustainability Investing. I like either title. What does that mean, that you're a leader of thought in this world?
Well,
and where's?
You know, the truth is that I don't manage money. I manage information. So I spend all my time looking for trends and what's happening and what I see happening and what I think should be happening and helping put that information out there so that we can build a bridge to a more sustainable economy, to create people that want to put their money and their values together, and how to do that. Because I think a key question is to ask, that people need to ask themselves, is what do you want to profit from and what don't you want to profit from? And that is really, really important because there's so many topics in today's world to have that question be, you know, from profiting from war to extractive industries to social issues, all kinds of different things. So we just began a quest, and I guess we can also talk about how this was really brought on to enhance my relationship with money, because I didn't have a very good one.
Mm-hmm. Define, before we go further with that, we're going to talk about values and money. Define sustainability. I think it's a confusing term for some people. How would you define sustainability?
Well, I think it really is about doing things today, business practices, or how we conduct our lives so that we don't jeopardize the future and future generations, so that when we're polluting today, and, you know, you can hear about Fukushima nuclear plant in Japan and how bad that is going to be, energy for today is going to need to be cleaned up for future generations. And so that's not a sustainable situation, technology-wise.
So it's an economic concept where we all have somewhat of a self-interest. Is that what you're saying?
Well, there is some self-interest, obviously, involved there, that profit today and let somebody else pay for it tomorrow. And that's
right.
Not a sustainable way.
Right, but I'm saying to be sustainable, we want to leave a better world for our children.
Yeah.
A cleaner world. So that's in our interest as well. And to provide resources for our grandchildren, great-grandchildren is what you're saying, right?
Absolutely. And right. Even life today. I mean, you know, to me, a great example of sustainability is organic food because it helps the farmer, doesn't hurt the land. You know, it helps the environment, it helps the farmer, and it helps my personal health. Mm-hmm. And it can help my portfolio. So to me, right. organic food, sustainable agriculture is win, win, win.
Great. So we're talking, so green money means to you exactly what?
Well, green money is really an extension of the socially responsible, really the sustainable investing industry. And there's like three or four components that I think it's important. Maybe we can define those here for mm-hmm. people to, you know, join us in this conversation and understand that sustainable investing has kind of grown out of socially responsible investing and impact investing. We're going to hear a lot about. And so sustainable, responsible impact investing means that you really look at what you do want to profit from, what you don't want to profit from. So you screen out certain behaviors. For me, I don't want to profit from tobacco, alcohol, gambling, or weapons of mass destruction, or weapons, period, environmental polluters. Those are things that I do not mm-hmm. want in my portfolio or to profit from in any way.
Hey, Cliff, hold on 1 second. I just want to tell Fadi that we're going to pick her up after the break. We have a break
okay.
in 2 minutes, so she'll have more time. Okay, go on. So then, you don't want to profit from bad companies, polluting companies, immoral companies, things of that nature, right?
But I do want to profit from clean energy technology, organic food, sustainable agriculture. Those are things that really interest me. So, you know, I like investing in United Natural Foods or Whole Foods or Hain or other companies, Tesla or whatever. And again, those are things that are moving our economy forward in a sustainable way. At least that's my belief.
Great. So
then
with that note, Cliff, let's go to break. Then hold that thought.
Okay.
Okay? And we'll catch another side. Hopefully with some other callers. We have Fadia holding on the line. And this is the Yoga of Money on the Empowerment Channel of Voice America Internet Radio Station. See you on the other side.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Do you want to grow your wealth the smart way, the yoga way? Using the life planning process inspired by a Buddhist teacher, Jeff Bogart will put you on a path, a vision quest of your future without the burdens of worrying about money. Schedule your no-obligation consultation today. Call Jeff at 216-292-8700 or email him at jeff@yogicinvesting.com. At Yogic Investing, we're in the business of creating wealth and abundance for you, the modern yogi.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel? Constantly running but getting nowhere? Ready to try something different? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. Each week, you can find out how to choose your energy and change your life with your host, Deborah Jane Wells. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Tune in to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life, Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Have you friended us on Facebook yet?
Why not?
Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for the keywords Voice America. Once you are part of our Facebook network, you'll receive daily messages about what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and new happenings of the Voice America Talk Radio Network. And you can add your voice to the always active discussions on our wall. Just go to Facebook.com/Voice America or search for Voice America.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
You are listening to Jeff Bogart with the Yoga of Money.
To reach Jeff or his guest today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to jeff@yogicinvesting.com. Now back to the show.
Back with Cliff Feigenbaum on the Yoga of Money show. And right now we want to go to our guest, our first caller, Fadia. Hello, Fadia.
Hi. Hi, Jeff. How are you? Hi, Cliff.
Good.
Hi.
Hi. Hey, I heard you briefly mention how at one point you didn't have a good outlook on money or attitude around money. And so I was hoping if, obviously, that's changed for you, I'm hoping you could, elaborate a little more about the importance of your attitude about money in order to make money to secure a sustainable future.
Excellent question. Part of my hesitancy with money and learning about money came from the fact that my father took us from living in Malibu, California, to ending up bankrupt in about 10 years. So I really watched what money did to my family, to myself, to my parents, and unfortunately, my dad, trying to dig himself out of this debt, died from a heart attack at age 46.
And, oh, that's unbelievable.
So there's some real kind of drama around money, and I didn't have a clear picture of how to take myself into a financial future. So there was a lot of fear around money, too. And so I really started Green Money to work on my relationship with money, to figure out that there's a lot of people who have really strange messages from their parents or just from the world about money. So let's have a conversation. And so slowly and surely, I was so afraid of even reading the Wall Street Journal. I'm like, what is that? That is so intimidating. And I began the journey to just, every time I read the Wall Street Journal or talked to my brother about the Wall Street Journal, I'd say, I just want to learn one new thing. I don't have to understand the whole thing, but if I can get one concept, a new idea, every time I read it, that's all I need to do. And I do that even today, watching CNBC or Fox Business or Bloomberg Television. I just want to learn one new thing that I haven't thought about, I haven't looked at. Here's another perspective. Can that help me in my relationship with money? Because in a lot of ways, I created a lot of debt for myself in my 20s. And it took me about 10 years to get out of that debt in my 30s. And in my 40s, I started, kind of relaxing a little bit. Still today, dealing with issues that I have about money.
Well, when you educate yourself like that, does that make you less fearful?
Absolutely. Just kind of understanding what does it take to, how do I buy a mutual fund? If I'm doing that myself or if I'm using a financial professional. It was like my girlfriend 5 years ago asked me, she's intimidated by money. What do you mean? How much money do I need to open a mutual fund account? And she's 45. And so we, realized it only takes, as little as $250. But that creates an avenue to put your wealth and your money to flow into. And so doing those small steps of opening a bank account at a local bank, making sure you're consciously aware of how much money you're putting on your credit card, what interest rate is that credit card.
Right.
So your relationship with money is a reflection of lots of things in your personal life, and I think in yoga practice, I think of my financial practice is vital to my personal well-being and peace of mind. So being mindful about your money is really helpful.
I agree. Thank you. I appreciate the way you responded because I think everyone's working on their relationship with money. So I think
everybody has to deal with money. you know, in the world? And what messages do we get or do we let in from the world about money and about fear of lack?
Yeah, and exactly. Money's a complex issue, an emotional issue.
Yeah. Yeah, so that, you know, that's one of the reasons that we do Green Money. All the time we're addressing this. So anybody who's listening, you can sign up free right on the homepage up in the right-hand corner for the Green Money e-journal, and we'd love to have you join us and have some feedback from you and join the conversation.
Great. Well, thank you, Claudia.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye now. I want to thank you for, hopefully your girlfriend knows that you're open with her finances a little bit. I want to tell you in the audience clip that Fadi is going to be open with her finances. In 2 weeks, she'll be on with an abundance coach, my abundance coach, Shakti. And she's going to bring up some of her money issues. She's been very gracious to be open that she's not perfect, like most yoga teachers aren't. So it'll be an interesting show 2 weeks from today. It's a pre-record with Fadi and Shakti working on some money issues.
Oh,
it's going to be
great.
Fun. Yeah. Great. All right, so let's go back to social responsible investing. Let's go to the genesis of social responsible investing. When did it start, basically? When do you think, and how did it start?
Well, it started back actually in the 1800s. In the churches that didn't want to profit from slavery, companies using slavery.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been active in churches for a very long time, and still today there's a lot of religious money, values-based money in socially responsible, sustainable investing. So it then kind of moved to screening out tobacco, alcohol, gambling, which was some church issues. But, and I don't say that in a negative way at all. I say that in a, I'm really, whatever people want to do to screen their money to align it with their values, It's very important. And so then South Africa was another issue where people did not want to profit, again, from companies doing business in apartheid South Africa. And then the environment was another big issue that has come up. And lately, slave labor and you know, we see the issues like the even today, supply chains and, you know, that factory in Bangladesh that collapsed and over 1,000 people died to make cheap clothing. Mm-hmm. Not something I want to profit from or be involved with, but it's really a reflection of how the economy, in some sense, works in the world today in cheap labor. And so that's why I prefer doing sustainable investing, because I want to be able to not only screen out bad companies, but even invest in certain companies where we can do some shareholder activism with them to buy a company that might need some help in changing its behavior to be an active shareholder. And that's what a lot of the SRI mutual funds are involved with. They really believe in the power of shareholder activism. So that's another part of this industry that I really like.
Let's get into it. Because back in the day, oftentimes, I'm going to use BP as an example. When we had the oil spill in the Gulf, would a social responsible fund try and buy BP stock to change the board of BP? And does that work often, shareholder activism? Does it fail? Is it an oxymoron to do so?
Well, there's been many successes, especially I think the last year we've seen about 200-plus shareholder resolutions on a variety of sustainability issues at companies, and the reactions and the votes that come through the shareholders are a variety of successes, you know, but it is something that I think more and more management of major corporations know that sustainability is a key, not only reputational, but a bottom line factor. These are not issues that don't affect the bottom line. This is about creating a good company that, you know, has employee retention. I spoke to a gentleman at SAP And he told me that the reason that they put so much emphasis on creating a great workplace is because if they lose one of their top people that maybe have worked there for 10 years, it could cost them upwards of $2 million to replace that person.
Sure.
Through training and years of vital service that this person might have contributed to the company. And how do they replace that? So a really great employee, you know, a good company retains its employees, and that is a valuable bottom line issue. So that's just an example that has, you know, come across lately.
I always thought, too, that it was really tough for corporations to abide by the social responsibility the old way, because there's so many different kinds. There's Lutheran, there's Catholic, there's Sharia, there's liberal, there's conservative, so on and so on. It's really tough for a corporation to abide by all those issues. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I think that there's certain things that, you know, a company would know what to do and what not to do, you know.
Sure.
You know, I think that this is a learning process. This isn't something that says, okay, now you're going to be a perfect company. I mean, I was listening to the gentleman recently who runs Honest Tea, that was a tea company now that was bought by Coca-Cola, and he took a lot of heat for selling to Coca-Cola, but he really believed and stayed on to run the company, the founder, and Seth Goldman, who co-founded it, because he believed he could change Coca-Cola, not
right.
The other way around. And so they were in 15,000 stores selling low-sugar, high-organic, really great tea. Now they're in 100,000 stores. They started, when they were bought, they were buying 800,000 pounds of organic ingredients. Now, this year, Coca-Cola's buying 5 million pounds of organic ingredients.
Repeat that again. How many million pounds, Cliff? How
5 million pounds.
Wow. Unbelievable. Great.
And so this is how things can actually change at major corporations. Yes, it's not a perfect company. Coke still has many issues, but they're starting to address them. And that's all we can ask for, is that we start shifting major Titanic-sized companies in Walmart. And, you know, not that I shop there, but I really appreciate that they're starting to really look at energy issues.
Yeah, they exist anyway. Great, Cliff, we're going to take a break, and let's get back into the greening of companies in America. What a fascinating subject. We'll see you on the other side. This is Yoga of Money with Cliff Feigenbaum of Green Money Journal.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Do you want to grow your wealth the smart way, the yoga way? Using the life planning process inspired by a Buddhist teacher, Jeff Bogart will put you on a path, a vision quest of your future without the burdens of worrying about money. Schedule your no-obligation consultation today. Call Jeff at 216-292-8700 or email him at jeff@yogicinvesting.com. At Yogic Investing, we're in the business of creating wealth and abundance for you, the modern yogi.
Where can you listen to some of the world's top life coaches, ready to share success tips and entrepreneurial guidance? The Voice America Empowerment Channel will do just that. Hear about personal growth, building a better business, inspirational life stories, and personal branding. You'll find it every day at voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate. Change. Succeed.
Now you don't have to stay linked to your desktop or laptop. Take Voice America on the go and listen anywhere. Get our mobile app for iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android at the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
What if you were willing to be controversial, choosing kindness instead of judgment, willing to stand out from the crowd? being a leader in creating a new reality, even if others don't follow. You can make a difference. Start by tuning in to The Value of Controversy. Each week, our hosts will bring you the tools to help create the world that you want to live in and explore what's possible when you choose from the controversy of consciousness. Listen for The Value of Controversy every Tuesday at 12 noon Pacific time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
You are listening to Jeff Bogart with the Yoga of Money. To reach Jeff or his guest today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to Jeff at yogicinvesting.com. Now, back to the show.
Here we are back with Cliff Feigenbaum. I'd like to do a little commercial for Yogic Investing. Cliff, let me ask you a question here. If I had two bags of groceries and one costs $50 and one costs $700, which one would you buy? Same groceries.
$50.
Of course. Who wouldn't? Now, you're probably asking yourself, why do I bring this up? The reason I'm bringing this up, Cliff, is the social responsible funds that we use have much lower fees, sometimes seven times lower than normal other social responsible funds. Guess what? There's extra added bonus, too. The company is also an advocate for the shareholders as well, with low fees and corporate good citizenship. Another thing is, instead of 300-400 stocks in a portfolio, you have 3,000 or 4,000 stocks in a portfolio. So less cost, more diversification, shareholder activists. What more can you ask for, Cliff? Okay, so let's get back to it.
All right.
Really, the next biggest trend, which I told you I'm very excited about, is called impact investing. Why don't you explain what impact investing is?
Well, impact investing came out of what was known as community investing, which was a pillar of SRI and sustainable investing to really bring your money local, to have a bank account or do your business banking locally. But there was also the aspect of supporting international community investing. And so how could you help people in Bangladesh, or how could you invest in social enterprises around the world? And so groups like the Calvert Foundation created some notes for community investing. And how could you help people in New Orleans after the hurricane down there? And so it was really a way to have your money have more impact, because you can put it in the stock market, mutual funds, but that you're not really engaged with it that much. And I think impact investing is much more about empowerment and engagement with money, so that you can invest in a credit union or a loan fund that might invest in low-income housing or child daycare or job creation in their community. And, I do that here in Santa Fe. There's a fund called HomeWise that really helps people get into their first home. But
wow.
Their qualification is, they have to take a bunch of money management courses and really get their credit scores up and really understand money, and then they qualify to move in to HomeWise to look at getting one of their homes. And so it's an engagement on your relationship with money and to empower you, moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Let's explain. You want me to explain what a note is to the audience in case they don't know?
Yeah, go for it.
A note is the same thing as a bond, only it's not very liquid. So Calvert, very innovative, is issuing notes, and you'll know who directly your money is going to affect. To me, that you can't ask for anything else. I mean, it's very innovative, and I think we're going to see more and more iterations of this. I'm not sure how we'll see it in mutual funds. I know there's some private money pools that go, things of this nature. So to me, that's very exciting, Cliff, very. I'm on the board of Hebrew Free Loan Association in Cleveland, and we loan money interest-free to people who can't get loans elsewhere.
Yeah.
And same thing, community-oriented. As they say, you don't have to be Jewish. Don't worry, darling. Don't worry.
Well,
interest-free loans to people who need money.
It's vital. You know, I work with a group. We have our new fall issue going up online next week, and we have a guy named Don Schaefer of the Rudolf Steiner Foundation, RSF Social Finance, writing on their take on impact investing. And so it's probably about 25% of what we do, and Green Money is talking about this. Every issue we have somebody who's doing impact investing in a different way. So we really try and get around the topics on greenmoney.com to really help people look at different ways that their money and their investments can make a positive impact on the world. And to me, you know, this keeps me very, very busy, and I can't think of doing anything else, because it is rewarding to see people be able to, you know, understand money better, understand investing and how it works, and how to create financial independence for themselves.
Hey, Cliff, I just got an email from Danny from Atlanta, Georgia, and basically he says, are social responsible funds all liberal, or have the liberal funds pushed the conservative people aside? So this is your thing. What do you think, Cliff?
Well, I think that being that churches are very involved in, in fact, there's an article coming up by the folks at Everence MMA Praxis, and they're a Mennonite group out of Indiana. And so they're writing for our new issue that goes online next week, talking about green bonds and their faith-based belief in sustainable and socially responsible investing. So there is really a spectrum of what you can find out there, and a lot of times you'll see it under religious investing that they'll call some of these funds. But yes, there is obviously some liberal bent to some of the mutual funds, and it doesn't mean that I agree with all their philosophies. And the truth is, there's not one definition of socially responsible or sustainable. And that's why we see, I think there's over 200 different funds out there now, because they have different ways of approaching it. And I think that we see funds like Green Century or other funds that their focus is not, they don't spend a lot of time screening things out or doing a lot of screening. They're actually looking for new innovative energy companies to invest in. So their view is really on a forward, what is the company doing? What can they do? What renewable energy, what mm-hmm. is it that we need in the world, and investing in those companies? So there's right. a forward thinking on some of these funds. So that was a little bit of a long answer, but
that's okay. I want to give the audience a warning. I love green energy funds, but you're still investing in small companies, sometimes micro companies. And there's a big risk with those. And just because yes. they're a green energy fund doesn't mean they're a good company. Wasn't there a company that took money from Obama or the government a couple of years ago that was kind of just doing not so good things with the money, Cliff?
Well, I think that that's a really, really valid point. That
just be careful is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Be careful. But you bring up a point in that greed has not been eliminated in humanity,
right.
and no
right.
matter if people say that they're green, that's a good thing, but it doesn't mean they don't have issues with money. It doesn't mean that you don't have to do your due diligence. It's really important, because humanity in a lot of ways is still dealing with fear and greed around money, and so yes, it's really important to be careful, be aware, do your homework. That's part of what we help. That's probably what you do also for your clients, is
oh,
really
sure.
help with the due diligence part of the financial conversation. So
right.
look for mutual funds that have been around for a while and that have a solid track record and have a solid management. And I interview a lot of those people, like at Pax World and others, and I know you use a variety of funds yourself, Jeff. And so, yeah, just, you know, be conscious, because
right.
that's...
So speaking of funds, I kind of want to pick apart a Calvert fund. because it's just a little bit confusing for me. Calvert's been a leader in social responsible investing and now a leader in impact investing. But I went online and looked at their equity income fund and looked at their top 10 companies, Marathon Oil, General Electric, Royal Dutch Petroleum, Occidental Petroleum, ConocoPhillips. It's kind of laden with old energy companies. I'm not quite sure how this is sustainable or socially responsible. Any idea for you, Cliff?
I do know about that particular fund, yes, because they're using a buy and change strategy called the SAGE strategy on that particular fund only. And so a good friend of mine, Bennett Freeman, actually wrote for our spring issue about their approach to buying into these oil companies, and it's called the extractive industries. And so oil, mining, natural gas, it's something because they're conscious that we all use these products throughout our life. And every day, I mean, today I drove my car, I used natural gas, and I probably used electricity from coal-generated electricity at the Four Corners coal-generating plants here in New Mexico. And so I've used three kinds of extractive industries, and I, you know, it's only halfway through the day. And so it's something that they believe in this particular fund, the Calvert, that they have to engage with the dirtiest companies because we all use these products. We can't ignore the fact that dirty energy is how we run the world.
Right. So there's a method to their madness is what you're saying.
Yes, and I think they need to be a little more informative up front so somebody like yourself or, you know, somebody who's listening goes and sees that without they need more information, I think, on their website about this strategy for that particular fund. But it's something that Calvert is doing, and it's you can screen out companies, or you can engage with companies, and so it is a different type of strategy, and it's also there's also another strategy called best of class that some funds use, and I don't necessarily care for that, but again. A class is, you know, it could be an oil company.
Right. Hey, Cliff, we're going to take a break here. We can pick up a thought. I have an interesting email. So, Calvert, if you're listening, you need better communication. Communicate. Right, Cliff?
Yes.
Great. This is the Yoga of Money on the Voice of America Internet Radio Station, the Empowerment Channel. We'll see you on the other side with Cliff Feigenbaum. Fascinating green conversation with Cliff Feigenbaum of the Green Money Journal. See you on the other side.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Do you want to grow your wealth the smart way, the yoga way? Using the life planning process inspired by a Buddhist teacher, Jeff Bogart will put you on a path, a vision quest of your future without the burdens of worrying about money. Schedule your no-obligation consultation today. Call Jeff at 216-292-8700 or email him at jeff@yogicinvesting.com. At Yogic Investing, we're in the business of creating wealth and abundance for you, the modern yogi.
We let so many outside factors mold and shape our lives. Technology, instant delivery. We live in an on-demand world. What's happened to the compassion, the kindness, a better pace? Listen to Might Radio with host Gabriella Von Ray. We'll bring that kindness and compassion back to our world. Our guests come from around the world, and we'll discuss what's being done and what we can do to bring our lives back to order. Might Radio is broadcast live every Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, noon Eastern Time, on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Jeff Bogart with the Yoga of Money. To reach Jeff or his guest today, please call 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141.
You may also send an email to jeff@yogicinvesting.com. Now back to the show.
Back here, Yoga of Money, Jeff Bogart, your host of Yogic Investing. I'm here with Cliff Feigenbaum, the Green Money Journal. And I just got an email from Susie from San Diego, California, Cliff. And I'll read it, what it says. I'm a listener with three daughters. And she said, women tend to be less knowledgeable about money. I want my girls to have stability and freedom. Where's a good place to start in getting my girls financially educated? Any interesting websites? They're teenagers, and they just opened their first bank accounts. Great question, Sally.
Well, that is a great question because there's several women who are leaders in sustainable investing. And so Amy Dominey comes to mind in her writing. She writes a lot for us. Barbara Krumsick, who is the highest ranking CEO of a mutual fund as a woman is quite impressive. And so I would look on Domini.com and Calvert.com and look for pieces from their CEOs and their founders because I think that it's really, really important to help your girls understand that their empowerment around money is really going to create some independence and some financial consciousness for their life is really a good thing.
Yeah, I think you have to make it fun for kids too. I'm sure there, and honestly, I should know more of this. I'm sure there's some stock market games and stuff like that, board games that can make it really fun for kids. You don't want all the boring financial nomenclature, or as we call it, financial pornography in our business. Huh. We just want them to start saving. Oh, there's lots of, I won't even go there, Cliff. All right, well, so you and I, go on, I'm sorry, go on.
True. I think that you don't want to overwhelm them, but I always found it a fascinating, I actually spoke at numerous schools in the past and just kind of asked them, what are you wearing today? And, they might be wearing something from The Gap or Abercrombie & Fitch or Nike or Under Armour, and do they know anything about that company? And so this was a time when Nike was having a lot of supply chain issue problems, mm-hmm. And I kind of asked the kids, does this matter to you? And, but it's they really didn't understand that their money that they were spending could really influence if a bunch of kids all over the country, all over the world started boycotting a company or not buying their products, how much change they could create.
Yeah.
The company knew why. And kids have power.
Yeah, good point. They really do. And they have the time to really put into it as well. Great. So I want to go to an environmental controversy these days, fracking, Cliff. I think there are two sides of the coin to fracking because the energy once used is clean, but to get it's kind of dirty. Where do you stand on fracking?
Well, I would prefer a more renewable source of energy, and I live in a state with 300 and some days of sunshine, and we're using, I think our state energy is only one or less than 5% comes from solar, yet we have so much solar capacity. Here. So I think that really the truth is that the charge of our generation is to create an energy source that doesn't kill us, that doesn't pollute our water supply, and doesn't pollute the air and doesn't, affect us in a negative way. So I think that technology is really, an innovation is really at the beginning stages. So I think it's a really exciting time to be alive, and fracking is controversial because it is controversial, and I think they should be able to do it without the chemicals in the water. In fact, there's a county here in New Mexico that just said we are no fracking at all, and they have passed a charter in their county that no fracking allowed, and that was quite controversial and quite interesting because New Mexico does have a lot of energy companies, and energy is a source of how they fund education and schools in New Mexico. So,
okay.
All kinds of different issues around that. What do you think about it, Jeff?
I honestly don't. I think we don't know what to think. I think we have the reality of the world, as you and I discussed. We all put gas in our cars. We all turn on the electricity. We have coal-fired plants here. I would like to see it done in a clean way because I like the end result. I'm just not sure how you get to the end result without being dirty.
Well, it's a transition. I mean, the transition to renewables is definitely a 20-year plan, and so it's going to take the smartest, the best financial wherewithal and really smart people, and I think that Silicon Valley has some of those people working on all kinds of different things for a clean energy future.
Right. I mean, from a pure economic standpoint, this is not me saying I believe in this. It's just what it is. If the price of oil goes down to $50 a barrel, the alternative energy business just halts. It just does because oil becomes so cheap.
Well, I think you bring up a really, really important point as we're talking about Syria in the news and other things that in the Middle East. And this is about, oil is now over $100 a barrel, and I think it's going to stay pretty high because the tense situations around the world seems to require our military to be making sure that these oil lanes stay open. It's a very, very expensive part of a gallon of gas, yet it's not priced in all the externalities that come with using oil from the Middle East are not priced in. And I think that if they were priced in, renewables would really be much more
expensive. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, we don't pay at the pump. And if we did, okay, we've got about 4 minutes left, Cliff. So I want to ask you a couple of questions. We're all concerned about our mutual funds, the stock market, but also, what about our banks? How do we know if our banks are green? We give our banks our money, we don't think anything of it. They're not always doing green, loaning money to green projects, are they?
No, but I think that there's been a nice movement around move your money and taking it out of national banks and putting it in a local bank. I personally bank at, the First National Bank of Santa Fe because I really want to put my money in a local bank. My girlfriend has her account at Los Alamos National Bank here. So it's a way for us to make sure that there's money flowing in our community, not just shopping at the farmer's market or shopping at the local co-op, but making sure that our money is flowing into our community through either a loan fund or a credit union or a locally owned bank. And so just, find out a little bit of where your bank is based. So if it's a Bank of America, it's probably not based in your town.
Right, right. Community banks is what you're saying. It's a good start. Yeah. Also, what can we do to be green other than in our daily lives? I just bought some locally grown peaches. I'm not sure if they were organic, Cliff, but they taste and look like real peaches. They weren't red. They weren't perfect, but they were beautifully tasting peaches, like when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So
I did that yesterday.
Buy from local farmers. Does that help?
Yes. I think it absolutely does. Buying local, shopping local, that's one thing that I think really your money stays in the local economy and generates the local economy. And I think that is a vital part of not sending your money out of your community is really important. And, maybe it's a locally grown peach instead of an organic peach from three states over. That's okay. Get to know the farmers. And I've really, Santa Fe has a lot of really farm-to-restaurant project, I should say, is really active here. And so there's a lot of local farmers involved with the local restaurants.
Right.
And we try and support those because I think the food's better.
Great. Clifford, we're about running out of time here, about a minute left. So GreenMoneyJournal.com, it's free, correct?
It is.
Right.
And our new issue will be up next week. So, and it's either GreenMoney.com or GreenMoneyJournal.com. And you can sign up right on the homepage, top right corner, and we'll get you out the latest e-journal.
I want to tell you about next week's show, Cliff. It's a very special show. We're having Tal Porshan Lynch on. She's a 95-year-old yoga teacher who actually fought the Nazis as part of the French resistance in World War II.
Wow.
Incredible life. She learned how to use the German police dogs against the Germans that would leave the French resistance alone. So everyone tune in next week, pre-record with the 95-year-old yoga teacher, Tal Porchon Lynch. Thank you so much, Cliff. I really enjoyed this hour with you.
Thank you so much about helping people get mindful about their money.
Right. It's Yoga of Money, and we'll see you next week on our pre-record with Tal Porchon Lynch.
Thanks again for tuning in to The Yoga of Money. To reserve your space today for a free no-obligation consultation, call Jeff Bogart at 216-292-8700 or email him at jeff@yogicinvesting.com. Please be sure to join Jeff Bogart again next Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We'll see you then.